This morning, the state of Oregon's fire map reported 26 active fires burning across the state, including 3 in Josephine County, 2 in Jackson County, and 3 more in Klamath County. And wherever there's a wildfire, smoke becomes a problem that affects residential areas many miles away. Joining me on the exchange to discuss the harmful effects of wildfire smoke and what we can do about it is Gabriella Goldfarb. She's the Environmental Health Section Manager for the Oregon Health Authority. Welcome to the exchange, Gabriella.
Thank you. Thanks so much for this opportunity to talk with your listeners about wildfire smoke and health.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So tell me about your work at the Oregon Health Authority.
So we have an active climate change and health program that has a big focus on wildfire smoke, as well as heat, harmful algae blooms, other things that are affected by more heat, less precipitation or precipitation at different times of the year and in different forms, things like that. So we're always looking at both what are those, what's happening out in the environment, and we partner with our environmental agency colleagues to tell us what's happening in the environment, and then we try to identify what that means to human health. So health effects of wildfire smoke, like other sources of air pollution, wildfire smoke contains particles that can irritate everyone's eyes and lungs and make you experience symptoms like coughing and watering eyes that will clear up once the smoke passes, but there's worse that can happen. So happy to share information about that.
Yeah, I want to get into that in just a minute, but I want to know a little bit more about you. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, and I lived also in Central California and moved around, ended up in Oregon about 27 years ago, so longtime resident. And up and down from my youth, I remember getting evacuated when I was in third grade because of wildfire smoke in the hills behind my house. So this is something that's been very personally real to me. I live in the Portland metro area now, and we definitely have incidents that affect us. Certainly, we all were impacted by the 2020 Labor Day fires that put a blanket of smoke across the state. So have experienced it directly, personally, but thinking about your listeners, not to the extent that folks in your neck of the woods experience wildfire smoke.
Well, that was one of my curiosities about your background, how you developed an interest in environmental health, and sounds like it's from personal experience.
That is indeed part of it. I always have, I've had a long time interest and background in environmental and natural resource work, but that intersection with human health, it kept coming up and became a real focus area for me.
So let's talk about what happens when we breathe in wildfire smoke. You talked about particulates.
Yeah, and I was mentioning, all of us can be affected by these particulates. But for many people, those impacts, the coughing, the watery eyes, those clear up once the smoke passes. But we're really concerned about very small particles that can reach deep into our lungs, where they can enter our bloodstream and affect the lungs, heart, and other organs and tissues. And so, scientists have focused on what's known as particulate matter 2.5 microns in size and smaller. So the shorthand for that is PM2.5. If you string 30 of these together, they would span the width of a human hair. So that's how small we're talking. And there's really well-documented research showing that exposure to PM2.5 can decrease lung function, aggravate asthma, cause irregular heartbeat and heart attacks, and even up to causing premature death in people with heart or lung disease.
Well, when you talk about exposure, what's the length of time of that exposure is necessary for those kinds of prolonged effects?
It really depends on the individual. It depends your age, underlying conditions, how much time you spend outdoors or indoors if you don't have good air quality indoors, and what your level of activity is. So it's really very dependent on the individual circumstances.
So what does your data reveal about which populations are at higher risk than others?
So we issue an annual report called Climate and Health in Oregon, where we look at the evidence from the past year about how wildfire and other changes we're seeing in Oregon, such as more days of extreme heat, as I was saying, harmful algae blooms, how that's affecting our health. And we do see variations from year to year, but the takeaways in regards to smoke impacts are pretty consistent. Communities in southern, central, and eastern Oregon are consistently experiencing higher smoke impacts, and also combined smoke and heat. And each of these can worsen the underlying health conditions I mentioned earlier. Together, they pack even more of a punch. Other things that we've looked at is, for example, the residents age 65 and older in Oregon are only 20% of the population. But in terms of folks coming into emergency departments and urgent care centers with non-infectious respiratory complaints, so not because of a flu bug or something like that, they represent 41% of who's coming in with those kinds of complaints. And so that, you know, gives you a real good picture of who is most impacted. And another thing that we see is early in wildfire season and late in wildfire season, again, this was in 2024, we saw kids age 17 and under came in at a higher rate early in wildfire season and late in wildfire season. So even when it was times that maybe the particulate matter, that PM2.5 wasn't as high, we speculate that those are the times when kids are in school and exposed to wildfire smoke. And in school, they may be exposed to more infectious diseases. And when you have any other kind of respiratory condition, smoke on top of that will make things worse. So that's one theory that we have about why we're seeing bigger impacts in those young populations at those times of year. Also, we in Oregon have all been doing more and more to get resilient to smoke. And so it may also be that those first hits of wildfire smoke kind of put people on alert and get people to take action to protect their health during the peak of the wildfire smoke season. And then after, you know, at the end, what they think is the end of wildfire season, people may have their guard down. So these are, you know, we don't know for sure. These are areas for more research, but these seem like possible explanations for why we're seeing those differences for those populations.
My guest is Gabriella Goldfarb, Environmental Health Section Manager at the Oregon Health Authority. Gabriella, has fire season gotten longer, or is it just my imagination?
It has definitely gotten longer, especially shifting to later in the season, going much longer later in the season. And, of course, it varies from year to year and location to location. We had such an unusual and devastating fire in the community of near the community of Mosier, Rowena, near the Dalles, very early in the season. This year so far, we are seeing a lot of fires, but our Department of Forestry and U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management have all been doing good jobs keeping them mostly under control. Fire season is not over. People shouldn't have their guards down, but you're right, it's lasting longer.
Well, speaking of firefighters, the first responders have to breathe air too, right?
Absolutely. And that is a population that's being studied more and more because of the longer wildfire seasons. And so I will say that for Oregon Health Authority, our focus is on community health. So we aren't the experts in with that population. I think you'd have to talk with Oregon OSHA, folks like that, who focus more on workplace.
Okay.
But I do want to say one more thing about workplace exposure. So for people who aren't exposed through their work, like a firefighter, specific work is to be at the fire. Outdoor workers do have higher risks. And so we were happy to support Oregon Occupational Safety and Health, known as OROSHA, a few years back when they adopted outdoor worker protection standards for wildfire smoke and heat. So outdoor workers can and employers can get a lot of information from OROSHA about the steps that should be in place to protect those outdoor workers.
And right alongside them, you have outdoor enthusiasts, you have hikers, you have bikers, you have youth sports. People are outdoors throughout the summer, throughout wildfire season. How do we know when the air quality is safe?
So the top way to keep safe is to know where to find information from a trustworthy source. And so we recommend people in our state turn to the website OregonSmoke.org. So that's OregonSmoke, all one word, .org. The Department of Environmental Quality hosts the site, and our two agencies update the information with participation by tribes and other federal, state, and local partners. On that site, you will find a smoke and health button that will lead to OHA, Oregon Health Authority's website, that's full of information about keeping safe from smoke and wildfire. And your county public health departments are also good sources of information, and most link to that OregonSmoke.org website and the OHA website directly. So, you know, some of the actions, that on that site as well, what you will find is the latest on air quality advisories that the Department of Environmental Quality issues in consultation with OHA and a lot of other partners. So, information, knowing how to protect yourself is one step. On our website, OHA's website, we have an air quality and outdoor activities guide. It's really oriented towards the needs of schools and youth athletic associations. So it'll say things like recess, how much time, depending on what the air quality is like. And people, again, from all of our experience, we're getting more and more familiar with what's called the air quality index. So is the air green, less than air quality index of 50? Is it moderate, yellow? Is it unhealthy for sensitive groups? Is it unhealthy? Is it hazardous? And it gets, more and more orange and red and purple as you go. So that guide that I talked about for outdoor activities and air quality, it gives guidance for different levels of activities when to stay indoors.
Okay.
Also, listen to your body. when there's smoke and you're feeling it in your body, that's a good indicator to ratchet it back.
Okay, and give us that website one more time.
OregonSmoke.org.
OregonSmoke.org. How does smoke impact pets and livestock?
You know, I have to say, Oregon Health Authority focuses on humans. So okay. I would, based on other information that we've gotten from the Oregon Department of Agriculture, for small animals, for your pets, it would be similar to people. You know, they're small and maybe similar to children. They're small, they breathe more for their, per their body weight. But really, people should talk to their veterinarians about those kinds of concerns.
That makes sense.
I'm not qualified to talk about it more than that.
But humans drink water. Does smoke affect the quality of our drinking water?
So our public, if you get your water from a public water system, that water has to be tested, and there aren't open reservoirs anymore. So for public water systems, your water is safe, it's tested, and if it doesn't meet standards for a whole host of drinking water quality requirements, then your public water system is going to treat the water and will notify you if there's any problems. So for other folks who might tap, and it's a very small proportion of people in Oregon who might tap surface waters, they may have concerns. It's more, though, from after a fire, if there's runoff from water that's bringing burned materials into a water body.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Gabriella.
Thanks for having me.